Welcome to Straight From the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. I'm Paula Slater, your host. This is an interview-based podcast where I have conversations with the most interesting and creative people in the horse world. Today I'd like to welcome Kathleen Aspens from KathleenAspens.com. And Kathleen is an expert in flower essences, and she also practices the Linda Tellington-Jones method. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay, so let me tell us about how you got started in the flower essences. Which came first, Tellington or the essences?
The flower essences did come first. Mm-hmm. I am someone who just adores animals and have my whole life. And one of my two fascinations, aside from horses, is parrots. And I've had a pet parrot. Well, I have two pet parrots now. But my one pet parrot, when she went through puberty, started to get kind of crabby and irritable and hormonal. And I was really looking for some alternatives to help with her behavior. And I discovered flower essences. And the thing that really appealed to me about flower essences is that there is no toxic potential. They are very, very dilute tinctures. And so there's no chemistry involved. There's no potential harm. So that's what really attracted me to flower essences. And I started using them with my parrot and was really happy with the results. And then I just started using them for everybody in my life and friends, and it sort of spiraled out of control.
I don't know that much about birds, but can you tell me, I gather, that you would give the essence in the water?
Yes, that is a really easy way to give essences to all of your domestic animals. But yes, you can certainly drop the essences in the water bowl. With a parrot, I think that's the best way to do it. You can also mist them into the environment by putting them in a little sprayer bottle. My parrots don't like that, so you don't want to give them essences in a way that they're uncomfortable. But there are some parrots who really love to be misted, and that's a really good way to give them to them as well.
Okay.
But for dogs, for horses, you know, putting them in the water is a great way to go.
Okay. Now, my next question is, what about cats who are very finickety?
Yes. Cats are challenging clients sometimes. In the water, you're only putting a drop or two of the essences in the water, so there really shouldn't be a lot for them to be off about. The brandy that's part of the bottle that you'd purchase is just there as a preservative. And so you give very small doses. So usually if you're putting it in the drinking water, they don't have a problem with that. If they do, you could try putting it in the food. Sometimes they don't mind and sometimes they do. If they still care, you know, don't like that, then you can always put it on your hand and pet it into their coat. And sometimes that's a really nice way to help your cat be calm, to relax, you know, as long as your cat enjoys being petted. But that's a nice way to get it into their field. It's an energetic medicine. So it's really, you're really just putting that vibration into the field. It's not a drug.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess I'm thinking about essential oils, and some what applies to humans usually applies to horses, but when it and dogs, and but when it comes to cats, it's a totally different ballgame.
Right. Well, essential oils, I mean, that's a good thing to bring up, because essential oils and flower essences are really extremely different. They are kind of on the two extremes of each type of medicine. Essential oils are very, very concentrated extracts of the oil of the plant. Flower essences are very, very dilute tinctures of the flowers themselves. So they, you know, essential oils are wonderful, and I use them and really enjoy them, but flower essences are completely different. There's no, with essential oils, you have to be careful, especially if you're in competitions, mm-hmm. because some of them will test. Flower essences, there's really no potential for that, because there is no chemistry involved. It is strictly a vibrational medicine like homeopathy is.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no possibility that you could test, or that there could be any problems or interactions with any other medications or therapies or really anything else you're doing. It's very compatible. So I think that was your question. Is that right?
Well, I gather I'm going along the line of
cats in terms of everything, drug, food, any kind of essential oil, what applies to the other species does not apply to them because of a number of reasons, I gather. And that's why I wonder.
Right. Well, that's a good point. You know, flower essences, because they're working on, you know, more subtle levels than most of the other therapies that you mentioned, you're not going to have quite as big of a difference with them. One of the things that's really nice to do with any animal is to ask the animal what they want. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's really all you need to do.
Yeah, and I am not one to disbelieve that or question that because of the number of people we've had on the show that are working in therapy with animals and with humans, and definitely with the veterans returning from the war and suffering from post-traumatic stress, horses are a huge healing partner in the therapy that they need. And so, speaking with a lot of animal communicators, and I have no doubt that you need to ask the animal.
Yeah, it's a very basic thing that we do tend to forget, but it's really, really simple to do. Animals recognize the vibrations of the essences, and they know exactly what they want and what they don't want. So if you have, you know, for instance, your kitty, you could have two or three bottles of essences that you think might be helpful for your kitty. And all you need to do is just literally show it to her, put it in front of her nose one at a time. And most cats will tell you right away which ones they're attracted to and which ones they'd have no interest in whatsoever. You know, I do that with my dogs, and you know, it's as if they're actually smelling it, even though there's no smell, but they're taking it in. And so you, even with the bottle closed, it makes no difference. They will literally pin on the one that they want, and they'll turn their heads away from the ones they don't want. And I find that's true with dogs. I don't have any kitties myself, so I don't get to test that on my kitties. With horses, you can offer the essences to them the same way. You can literally show them a couple different bottles and put it in front of their nose, even closed. They don't have to actually get into the bottle. But if you just show them the bottles, usually you'll see the same reaction where they will sniff or be very interested in the bottle in your hand. Or if they're not interested and it's not a good match for them, they tend to turn their head away.
Ah.
It's really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something to try. I've never done that before. Actually, I've never really used flower essences on animals. I just actually used it on myself. So, and I guess, you know, it was more reading and doing some research about it to see what's suitable.
Yes, it's really interesting because very often I do all my flower essence work. I do consultations all over the phone or Skype. So my clients are sort of all over the world, all over the country. And very often what I'll find is that they'll contact me because their animal's having a particular issue. And as when we talk about it and kind of figure out what essences might be helpful and I explain which essences might be useful, very often people will have something of a matching situation in themselves. And so one of the things I often recommend is that there's an essence that's really good for your animal, and you might want to take it yourself as well.
Mm-hmm. And this is really interesting because, again, with the animal communicators, they get calls about the animal, and it turns out that the human has the same issue. So the connections,
exactly.
Yeah, the connections are so amazing, and they're repeated again and again in different areas, and it's always affirming to me anyways that we seem to be all on the right track.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And especially with the horses. So often I see the it's usually women. What can I say? Usually
yes.
Women are the ones that contact me. The women and their horses so often have matching challenges, their experiences and any traumas they may have had. A lot of times there's a lot of similarities there. And so I really do like to work with both of the members in this case, because it can really, really help to, you know, move the healing process along.
Mm-hmm. And it's nice to know that there is something. You know, I love alternative
yes.
medicine and alternative solutions. So can you maybe describe a case that you had with a horse and an owner?
Oh, sure, of course. It's always really interesting to start working with a horse. I worked with a horse named Chaney who had a history of having a really difficult colic surgery and had a really tough time in the rehab and had a variety of complications. And by the time his body was healed, his spirit was really, you know, injured. He was really quite traumatized by all the medical care he had had to receive in order to survive. So I started working with him, doing body work, doing T-Touch, doing essences. We started with essences first because he was really hard to even touch at that point. You know, he was really very traumatized towards being handled. So we started with essences and then we started doing T-Touch work with him. And it was really wonderful to see how he really shifted and turned around and started releasing some of his trauma. And the more I kind of got in relationship with him and his person, we really started to notice that there were some issues that were very similar in her life. And we started working with essences with her as well.
Oh, great. That's so encouraging. Especially, you know, like colic is the absolute dreaded thing in horses. And
it's a nightmare.
It is. And unfortunately, as a vet put it, or someone, I can't remember who, said that God didn't actually sort of arrange the internal organs, the digestive organs, well, because they are rolling and so on. And then we add the human factor because we look at the Mustangs, mm-hmm. and I mean, they've survived. But we're always changing the schedule or, you know, giving them something to be stressed out about. And I was talking to...
And that really... I apologize for interrupting, but that is really the thing that we can shift is the stress.
Yes.
The stress of the stabling environment, you know. I mean, we all try to do the best we can for our horses. You know, there's perhaps always a little more we can do. But no place is perfect. No situation is perfect, and we just do the best we can. But this is where essences can really be a help for horses who are in, you know, maybe suboptimal living conditions that might be a little more stressful. This is where I really like to advise people to, you know, you can add essences to your regimen very easily and very inexpensively, and it can do a lot of good to help alleviate the stresses of a stabling environment.
Mm-hmm. And I was listening to a talk given by one of the Royal Mounted Police, the Canadian section, and we were talking about colic and routine for them because they're always traveling all over the world and they're putting horses into trailers and then they're flying and so the message is coming across, keep the routine and the feeding schedule the same to minimize stress because they are performance horses and they need to go. And then, of course, that relates to the people that show or travel with their horses. And so we want everything to be in place that makes sure that our beloved animal is going to survive and never have to deal with this. But they do, and it's nice to know that there is an alternative to help.
Yeah, I would certainly recommend that anybody who's interested, you know, one of the easiest to obtain flower essences that's sort of kind of across the board, a crisis formula is called Rescue Remedy. And that is really a helpful essence just to have around. I like to recommend my clients, you know, have one in your purse, have one in your glove box, have one in your tack box, because it can be useful for a variety of situations. It's really helpful for horses who get stressed in the trailer. It's helpful for horses who are having some sort of a crisis. And it's also helpful for us riders when we have falls or accidents or scary things happen. Rescue Remedy, just taking a few drops and giving a few drops to your horse, is really will help bring you back into your body, help steady your breathing, steady your heart, help you calm down after something like that. And if you have a horse who is colicking, you know, go ahead and keep giving a drop. And you could simply, you know, put a drop on your finger and rub it on the gums. Or you could even just put a drop on your fingertips and rub it into the muzzle. Anything like that would be helpful. Clearly, one of the easy ways to give essences is to put a few drops on a cookie. But if you have a horse who's colicking, that's probably not your best plan.
No, and I think that the other way is easy. But again, I think that yes. The importance is the amount to, you know, you don't want to overdo it.
It's actually not that much of a problem. If you're in a crisis, you can take rescue remedy. You can take a drop every few minutes. That is not a problem. You really can't overdose on flower essences. It's a very small amount of alcohol in it. I mean, you wouldn't want to be giving bottle after bottle. More is not better. You know, a drop is a perfectly okay dose. Mm-hmm. You don't have to give gallons of this stuff. It's you know, just like homeopathy. You know, one of those little pillules is really all you need. It doesn't matter how big the animal is or small the animal is. You know, a drop or two is sufficient. And you can, if you're in a crisis, keep taking it or keep applying it to the skin. You know, it will really help you get through a very difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe you can pair this up with, let's say that we do have a stressful situation with the horse. Can you pair this up with the Tellington-Jones technique, something that someone could do, sort of a quickie that they can do while this is going on?
Absolutely. Anytime we have a horse in crisis, it's always wise to you know, use all of the tools in your toolkit. Mm-hmm. One of the best tools to have, and it's very, very easy to do, is called ear work. And this is one of the Tellington T touches. And the ear work is very simple. It's useful for all species who have ears, for dogs, for cats, for people, for horses. So for horses, it's really, really useful, especially in cases of colic. Linda Tellington Jones developed this touch with her mare, Bint Galuta, who had an impaction colic for days and days and days. And this was in the era when they didn't have as many tools to handle that. And so her vet, you know, after many, many days, was going to come out and put her to sleep. And Linda just wanted to spend some time with her before she had to put her down. And she just started to intuit this new technique. She felt the ears were really cold, and so she just stroked her mare's ears. And after spending time doing this, the ears warmed up, the mare started to feel better, all of a sudden the impaction resolved, and by the next morning she was just fine. So the way to do the ear work, it's very, very simple, is you stand in front of your horse or in a little bit off to the side. You would, for instance, hold the left hand on the nose piece of the halter, and with your right hand, you would reach up over the face and stroke the left ear from the base to the tip. And you're just doing just gentle, smooth strokes across the entire ear. You encompass the base of the ear and you stroke all the way up to the tip of the ear. And you stroke it for, you know, maybe 10 iterations, and then you'd switch sides. So you'd have your right hand holding the halter and your left hand stroking the ear. And this, the direction of the stroke is you're trying to have the ears kind of be lateral to the horse. So you don't want to, if you're in front of the horse, you're not pushing the ear back, nor are you pulling it forward. You're sort of pulling it off to the side. That's kind of the ideal direction of stroke. And most horses really enjoy this. Some horses have a difficulty with it, but usually if your horse is in distress, they will very much appreciate it and really dial into it and will drop their heads for you and help you to work those ears. This stroke actually encompasses an acupressure point for shock, which is at the very tip of the ear. So it's really worthwhile when you're doing your ear work is to just stroke all the way to the end of the tip and just contact the tip of the ear each time you make these strokes. Ear work is such a valuable tool for any kind of a shock. It's a nice bonding thing to do with your horse to help you calm together, to really connect. For a new horse, for a horse who's having difficulty with bridling, just to develop trust with your horse. The ear work is just a beneficial touch kind of all the way around the board.
This brings up a good point here. For someone who's starting to bridle their horse or has a horse that's maybe difficult to put a halter or bridle on, the one that mm-hmm. reaches their head up to their nose up to the
ceiling.
Yeah. What would you suggest that, well, of course, you would probably need to get the halter on first, or what would you suggest?
Yeah, I think it would be harder to do ear work without a halter on your horse, just because until they get used to it and really understand how good it feels, they might be inclined to sort of lift their head up. And you can work with a horse who has the head up in the air. It's just a little bit more challenging. You know, sometimes there are horses that just really can't bring their heads down for you, and you have to stand on a step stool or a mounting block just in order to start working with them. You really have to accommodate them.
Right.
But when you have a horse who's difficult to bridle, I would definitely think about doing ear work with them. And I would also think about doing mouth work with them. And mouth work is probably a little harder for me to just describe, but it's not hard to do. And with mouth work, really, we're just activating and moving around the skin on the nose, the muzzle, the lips, the chin. And then once the horse is really relaxed in the nostrils and the mouth and all the whole mouth area is relaxed and calm, then you can work inside the mouth, just manipulating the gums. And this isn't a specific touch like our typical T touches, which are circular touches. Mm-hmm. This is really more just moving the skin around. And this is really, it brings into relief when you have a horse. I don't know if you've had any Arabians who have those hard, pointy chins, or any horse who has really tight held mouth. There's a lot of tension in there. The mouth is one of the very first systems to come online when a creature is born. You know, if you have a newborn who doesn't have a sucking reflex, you've got a problem. And when the animals are just sort of developing, they really get a lot of calm from sucking. You know, that's part of the bonding process. That's part of the bonding process with the mother and the baby. And that sucking reflex is very calming. And so by stimulating the mouth, you're stimulating that calming reflex. So it can really help a lot of horses. You'll see horses sort of self-soothing in this way as well by doing licking behaviors or chewing or mouthing behaviors. But you can really help a horse release a lot of tension by working their mouth.
Okay, do you want?
So any horse who has bite.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I think, would you talk about pressure? Because that's important in Tellington jump.
Absolutely. Less is more in general. Generally speaking, you want to do less pressure than more pressure. The amount of pressure that we use in our usual typical T-touches is as much pressure as it takes for you to, if you can just work with me here and everyone who's listening and wants to play along, if you just take one of your hands and feel your cheekbone right underneath your eye, and if you put a little bit of pressure with your index finger onto your cheekbone and you can feel down to the bone, to your orbit, that's about the amount of pressure we ever use. That's a very light touch. In T-touch, we're not trying to manipulate the underlying structures. We're not doing muscle massage. We're not doing anything like that. We're really working with the cells of the skin and the connections of the skin. So whenever you're doing these T-touches, you're really doing a very light and smooth touch.
And Kathleen, can you speak about Linda's books?
Oh, sure. Linda has a lot of great books out. One of the books that probably most clearly and completely describes the method is her most recent book, is The Ultimate Guide to Horse Behavior and Training. And that's sort of the Bible of the T-touch method at this point. It's a really great reference. You know, it's a pretty big book, which is wonderful. But the good news is you don't have to read the whole thing if you don't want to. It's got a great reference guide where you can either look up a problem and get a variety of solutions, and then you can look up all of the different T-touches. They're all individually written about, and there's lots of pictures, and it really makes it quite easy to learn.
And she has a number of other books that her methods of training are so partner with the horse oriented and very slow and calm and really get wonderful results. Maybe you could talk about those a little bit.
Oh, for sure. One of the things that always really drew me to the Tellington method is that you're working with the horse. You're working with the intelligence of the horse, and you're teaching the horse how to learn. There's never any force used. We are always avoiding the horse being in a fear response, and if the horse is frightened, you help them overcome their fear. So often I see horses and work with horses who have been desensitized or sort of flooded with their fears, where they're shut down. And with the T-Touch, we're always looking to help the horse be really present and in their bodies, because we feel that makes a really safe horse. Because if they can think their way through a situation, they're in much better shape than if they're reactive. So we're always looking for them to be thinking, for them to be learning new pathways, learning new ways to use their body and to inhabit their body. I mean, how many horses do you know who sort of step on you or panic at little things or really kind of blow up? The T-Touch really helps a horse kind of get present, to be able to think, to be calm, and to partner with you so that they try to figure out what you're asking and teach them.
Now, does Linda have anything for the nervous rider? Many women today are returning to riding after leaving a career, or their children are now, they've left home and coming back into riding after being off for such a long time tends to tax their confidence, and also they tend to be a little bit nervous because they know they can't do what they did when they were younger. So is there something that Linda has that can be applied, or the rider can apply to their own body?
Well, there are quite a lot of things. One thing I would say is just doing the T-Touch work with your horse, whether it's the actual body work or whether it's the groundwork training, will help you bond with your horse more. Mm-hmm. And so your horse is going to be much more connected to you than if you hadn't done this work. So one of the things that I see is really remarkable, that when you start out doing the groundwork and the touch work, the rider herself, even though she's not in the saddle yet, she's learning how to use her body better. Because the better your balance and coordination is, and it's really developed when we start doing these groundwork exercises like the labyrinth or all the other groundwork exercises we do, it really helps the rider get better coordinated and better connected with her horse, and also to start learning new things. The horse learns new things. So all of these things are building. And then we have things like applying the T-Touch work to yourself, you know, doing the mouth work if you're nervous, you know, literally moving your lips around and helping to release those calming influences can be very helpful. Doing the ear work on yourself as well by stroking your own ears can help you to become more confident and at ease. One of the things that we like to do with riders who maybe are a little insecure up in the saddle is to use the body wraps. And this is something that we haven't talked about yet, but it's so helpful and useful. We use them all the time with the horses, and we use them with the riders as well. The body wraps are essentially ACE bandages, but they're used as a proprioceptive tool rather than as a binding tool. Mm-hmm. So they're used very gently across the body. So they're not tight, but they just create a sense of connection. And the body wraps can really help with balance, can really help with feeling more secure.
Now, how would that be used on the human?
Yeah, we'll use wraps in all different sorts of forms. If you're interested in the wraps, you can find out a lot more on the ttouch.com site. And there's also a book, there's several books about how to use these wraps. It's all wrapped up for horses, and then there's all wrapped up for humans. But the body wraps, we can use simply a head wrap, which helps you think better. And there's a variety of permutations of this, but one can simply be a band across the forehead and across the face. And that can really help sort of calm and center. And then we use another type of wrap, which, and it's all done over your clothing, and it's a crisscrossed wrap across your chest. And that can really help you feel more secure. It can help you open your chest a little bit more rather than sort of the collapsed forward shoulders. It can really help you be more stable in your body.
And then can you describe the horse wrap a little bit?
Absolutely. One of the things we really like to do with the horses is apply what we call a promise wrap. And that can be applied over the saddle, or also if the horse is nude, you have a variation on the body. But with a promise wrap, you're just applying the body wrap, applying the ACE bandage from either from your girth on one side to the other, and it wraps around the hindquarters. And it goes below the point of buttocks, between just below there and under the tail, and it just sort of wraps the hindquarters. This is a really useful wrap to help horses who are fearful of things behind them or who tend to sort of get flustered and nervous.
Now, do people ride with these on? I know that it's a little bit dangerous, but at the same time, or maybe just lead their horse around. How is this used?
Oh, it's not dangerous at all, but you always, always prep your horse to make sure that they're comfortable with it.
Right.
Every single step of the way with the T-Touch method, we are always making sure the horse is perfectly okay with each little tiny step. One of the precepts of T-Touch is to chunk it down. You know, we could have an exercise that might have 10 or even 20 components. We want to make sure the horse is completely fine and comfortable with each and every single one of those components before we assume that they're ready for the next step. And sometimes there's just one little thing that they're just not quite ready for, or not quite understanding, or not quite feeling comfortable with. So we never push them past that point. We always want to address that. So with the body wraps, you always want to start by really working the body and touching your horse all over the body. Make sure there's nowhere that they're uncomfortable with being touched, because those areas are going to come back to bite you. You know, some horses are really uncomfortable with having their tails touched. And that's really a problem if you're going on the trail and all of a sudden a branch comes and grabs their tail a little bit. That horse is going to spook. A horse that's been T-touched and we work with the tail, it helps them, you know, first off, acknowledge that they have a tail and realize that it's present and what it feels like, and they really get in touch with their tails, and then they won't be surprised by having something touch their tails. So the body wraps, we touch the horse all over the body, make sure they're comfortable with being touched all over their body, and then we introduce the wrap just by, you know, rubbing the horse with it, making sure they're completely okay, and then you can go ahead and apply the wrap. And we pretty much always will try to apply the wrap by holding it first rather than tying it on. So if your horse gets a little bit uncomfortable, it can easily come right back off, and then we just step back a few steps and try to get your horse to be okay with it. So it's not something that you would just slap on and go for a ride. You would want to make sure your horse is comfortable in it first.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this will also help moving around and getting used to going around an obstacle course, just walking like the labyrinth. I think if they're used to that, and then the bandage, I don't know what sequence that would go in, but I think that the combination of the two is a good learning experience.
It certainly is. And there isn't a set sequence. That's one of the really nice things about this method is that you take pieces and parts of what you know how to do. You don't have to know the entire system in order to do something really useful for your horse. If you remember one little thing, you think, well, I'm going to give that a try and see what happens. A lot of times you can make a really nice change with some very simple tools. So it's a nice thing to get people into T-Touch just by learning one or two things, and then they'll want to keep learning and learning more and more and more. So there's not a set sequence of the way that we operate and the way that we teach horses. We really work with the individual and where they are and what they need at that time.
Mm-hmm. And this, of course, can be applied to dogs as well, right?
Certainly, yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes. So, there are quite a lot of companion animal practitioners in the T-Touch system. I'm not one of those. I do horses only. But yeah, there's some wonderful work with the dogs and companion animals in general.
Mm-hmm. And Linda has a number of books that address are focused on cats and dogs as well.
That's right.
Horses. Yes. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen, for all this information. It's just wonderful. And
you're very welcome.
Listeners can only benefit by applying both techniques, the flower essences and Linda Tellington Jones methods. And she does have a number of books. So if you're Googling her, you'll find those. And also on Straight from the Horse's Mouth radio show, we will put links to your website, which is?
It's KathleenAspens.com.
And we will also add Linda's as well. All right.
Excellent. And there are going to be some new videos coming out from the T-Touch that Linda has filmed recently. So they're all going to be available. A lot of the techniques are going to be available by video for those who like to watch videos and learn. So
yes.
And I have a few videos on a YouTube channel as well under my name that you can connect with and watch some videos about T-Touch.
Wonderful. Now, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you would like to add?
I think we covered quite a lot. I think that we sort of got a good start on things, and it feels really good.
Okay.
I think I would just mention that, you know, anybody who wanted to connect with me, I'm on Facebook, I'm on YouTube. I also, on my website, if you want to sign up for my email list, I have a free ebook for signing up for the email list. The ebook is on flower essences and getting started on using flower essences.
Great. That's super. Now, what about courses or clinics? Do you offer any of those?
I do. I haven't yet scheduled my Tea Touch clinic. I'm here in Sonoma County, California, and I do a clinic, I do a clinic in Sonoma County, and it's usually about a 6-series clinic where we really delve into the Tea Touch method and get to learn it, get to practice, go home, practice on your own horses, and come back and keep learning more and more. That'll probably be the summer. I haven't yet scheduled the date yet.
Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's important to make sure that listeners know that you will do consultations through Skype or on the phone. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. I do all my flower essence work I do over the phone, so I'm available wherever you are. And certainly when I have clients who are interested in some other therapies as well, I can talk you through some of the Tea Touch work or get you resources for working with that aspect as well.
Right. And I think it also is helpful that if people are looking for flower essences, places where they can order the essences from. Right?
Sure. Well, I do, for my clients, I make up customized formulas. Mm. So they are made of a blend of many different essences. I have essences from companies all over the world, as well as my own line of essences, the Flora of Asia. And so your blend, when I'm working with you, is customized exactly for where you are and what you need at any given time, and also for your animals. And so I mail out those formulas anywhere.
Mm-hmm. That is totally awesome. Well, that's great. Well, thank you so much, Kathleen.
And you're very welcome.
I really hope we can have you back as a guest and talk a bit more about the latest updates in both the Tellington Touch and Flower Essences.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Well, then we'll say goodbye then.
Bye now.
I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Kathleen Aspens from KathleenAspens.com, Flower Essences. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at horsemouthbook.com. That's horsemouthbook.com. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. This is Paula Slater signing off for Straight from the Horse's Mouth Radio Show. See you next week. Bye.